Well, go ahead and open up to John 14. You can put a marker in Matthew 28. Now, when we do go to Matthew 28, keep your place in John 14 because we're going back there. This is something that I missed in the early days when I was trying to learn how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And again, I just thank God forever that He brought us to Pastor Dave Roberson when He did. Sue and I had already been born again and Spirit-filled for 12 years before we ever came to this church. And we could shandai along with the best of them, you know, but we never did because we didn't know there was any reason. But, you know, in a church service, we could speak in tongues or when everybody else was. But until we met Pastor Dave, we never knew there was a real reason on purpose to do that for extended period of time. So for that first 12 years, Sue and I, we got radically saved. We left the bars, never been back. My God was money before, without any doubt. Every decision I made had to do with money and how it would affect where we live and what kind of car we drove and so forth. So, but after we got saved, we really, really wanted to follow the Lord. We wanted to serve Him. But we didn't know how to really tap into the leadership that comes by the Holy Spirit. So we got a 12-year period. Well, we did just about anything to come down the pike. I mean, we did Bible studies. We went on outreaches to feed the hungry. The fellow who led me to the Lord, Michael Muccio, had a prison ministry. But eventually, after a year or two, he got married and wound up moving to Indiana, I believe it was. And so we kind of just inherited the prison ministry. We did prison ministry like that for 6 years. Now, to show the extreme of it, see, I can play a few chords on a guitar. And it got so bad, this one little church, nobody could play nothing but me. I was the only one that could play. Nobody could bang a piano or nothing. So guess who wound up being worship leader? Trust me when I say that is not my calling. If you ever hear me sing, you know, you'll be praying. You might be praying for your voice right now, but after you hear me sing, you'll be praying for my voice, you know. But anyway, what I'm saying is we just did everything that our hand found to do. And see, it's really okay. God will bless that walk. He says, you can't even give a cup of cold water in my name and lose your reward for it. Amen? So He will bless that. But I always felt like, you know, one of those dolls that it's fine. It's, you know, it's toys that's going along and it hits a wall and then it turns and then it hits a wall and then it turns. That was me. You know, I felt like that all the time. Well, thank God for Pastor Dave. And he began teaching us about everything that's involved with praying in other tongues. And another thing that he taught is learning to distinguish God's voice. And that was really my quest. I wanted to learn to hear the voice of the Lord. But in the process of that, I also learned, like, and Nathan really has some good messages on that, how praying in other tongues, you don't always hear a sentence spoken from the Lord. What I mean by that, Dave says, God's leading will grow in you like a tree. You remember that? And it'll grow and it'll grow. And maybe with Nathan, he was first born again down in South Texas somewhere. But as he continued to pray and pray and pray, this knowing, not a voice, but this knowing just kept growing in him like a tree, moved to Tulsa. The next step is I want you to move to Tulsa. Well, there was a lot of reasons why he didn't want to move to Tulsa. For one thing, Lori lived in Texas, and that was his sweetheart. But still, for a season, it was the mind of the Lord that they be separated by that much distance. So learning that one way of following the Lord is to literally hear His voice. Another way is dreams and visions. You remember that? Yonji Cho, who at one time had the largest church on earth over in South Korea, said the language of the Holy Spirit is dreams and visions. And that we've all had those at times. Amen? So that's another way. By revelation. Just suddenly, one minute you didn't know, and the next minute you know. You ever lose something? Hunt and search and sweat and turn stuff over and pull out drawers. And finally, when you give up, then you remember where it is. Sometimes it's like that with the Holy Spirit. You just get quiet and suddenly you know. Well, that's Him helping you out. You know, sometimes your mind has to get quiet. But now tonight, we're going to look at an aspect of the Holy Spirit's leading that happened to me a lot, but I didn't know it was happening to me. And so I missed it. I would follow it most of the time, but I want to show you that it is in Scripture. So let me read a little. Now, I saw some people come in after I started, so you want to get to John 14 and put a marker in Matthew 28, and don't lose your place in 14. We're going to come back to it. So I wrote here, we often neglect one of the primary ways that we are led by the Holy Spirit. Not only does the Holy Spirit speak by revelation, by dreams, by visions, by voice, and by direction that grows like a tree as you pray in the Spirit, but Jesus also said, now here's John 14:26. This is one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now notice, and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And in the Greek, that's past tense. Not what he's saying, what he has said unto you. Now many today, we've had this argument not in the leadership, but right, even in this fellowship here, we've had this doctrine, people trying to promote it. You don't really need to read your Bible because the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. Right there it says, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. All we need to do is get them born again, get them filled with the Holy Ghost, get them praying in other tongues. And the Holy Ghost says right there, the Holy Ghost will teach them all things. So you don't really need to read your Bible. Okay, we've had, maybe you've never heard that, but we've sure had that around here. Okay, now, if that's the case, if that's what Jesus meant, now be turning to Matthew 28 now. Don't lose your place in John 14. Then why did Jesus instruct the apostles to go into all the world and teach the people everything that Jesus had taught them? And here's Matthew 28. Now you got to remember that first century, they didn't have printed Bibles like we have now. They sure didn't have iPhone Bibles. They didn't have access to the teachings of Jesus unless somebody verbally brought it to them. That was the only way you got it. Okay? But now, look carefully here at Matthew 28. This is how Jesus is about to leave the planet. And he says, starting in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now notice, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Jesus did not say, preach the gospel to every creature. No, that's Mark 16. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and then go your way and the Holy Spirit will take over from there. No, that's not the way he said to do it. He said, I want you, human, born again apostle, I want you to make disciples of them. I want you to teach them everything that I taught you. And actually the word, when he says observe, actually that means don't leave them till they're doing it. It's more than just teach it. It's training them. It's like the example I gave this morning. Not just in word only, but in demonstration of the Spirit and in power. Now I'm going to prophesy just a little bit. I'm not going to say yeah, but I'm prophesying anyway. See, what's happened with the church at large, worldwide, the church for the most part has taken a defensive posture. And we're always being, a quote, attacked by the devil. So the church huddles up in defensive posture while the enemy is very aggressive spreading his gospel around the world. Can you see that? Now, Joel prophesied, along with that he was going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh, he prophesied about an army of the Lord. This is going to be an army not of one man shows. This is going to be an army of Mary Wallpaper and Joe Publix who are going to become disciples Now here's the prophecy. Not only are you going to become a disciple, you and me, going to become a disciple ourselves, able to function just the same way Jesus functioned. That's what he said. But you yourself are going to start discipling others. And I don't mean just teaching them either. I mean discipling them until they're doing the same, until they're observing to do the same works. Amen? The church is going to turn from a defensive posture to an aggressive posture. The kingdom of light pushing back the kingdom of darkness, and that is called revival. Okay? You got that? And let me read this again, what I said. Jesus did not say the Holy Spirit would teach the people his sayings, his doctrine, his teachings. He says, no, I want you to teach them. I want you, human, with a human voice. I want you to teach them everything I taught you. Okay? Now, we're not going to get into this part tonight. He did say in John 16, I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But he, when the Spirit of truth has come, he's going to guide you into all truth. Now, that's 1 Corinthians chapter 2 when he says, in other words, Jesus had brought these men as far as he could bring them before they're born again. But they had no spirit within them to know beyond that point. Okay? That's why the Holy Spirit, once they began to be born, once they were born again, you don't need to turn to it. I know right where it is. 1 Corinthians 2. That's why it says here, what man knows the things, it's 1 Corinthians 2:11. You don't need to turn there. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now that we're born again, we have received not the little s spirit of the world, but the little s spirit which is of God. You got reborn. There's a spirit on the inside of you birthed from God. And the spirit which is of God, why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. See, this is, now that is the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to bring to you the knowledge. It's really, you can read Paul and find out how the Holy Spirit revealed it to him. And it's really good to read all of that and input it, but you pray in the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit will bring that revelation to you. You got that? And it tells you it's spirit to spirit, see? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I love how Pastor Dave teaches that. He says, every hour you give to the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues, you've entered the classroom. The finely dressed gentleman at the chalkboard, that is the Holy Spirit. And with every hour you give him, he is communicating these mysteries, everything Christ is in you, to you, through you. He is communicating that spirit to spirit. God the Holy Spirit to your reborn human spirit. Your mind, the natural mind, has to kind of sit outside the curtain while all that's going on. You don't understand it at that moment. But as your spirit understands those things, it's almost like he parts the curtain. Your mind is sitting out there in an easy chair reading Field and Stream or something because it's bored. And all of a sudden a revelation will come. It's your spirit understanding something, then it reveals it to your mind. So it might take 5 days for your mind to be able to regurgitate that, to say that to somebody else intelligible. But that's the renewal process. Now, okay, good enough? Okay, we're back to Matthew 28 now. But see, now, when it comes to Jesus' sayings, the doctrine that he brought to planet Earth, that's the foundation of the church. And he did not intend for the Holy Spirit to teach that. He intended for man, reborn again men, to teach that. That's why. Now look at it again in Matthew 28, and then we're going to go back to John 14. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them. I want you to teach them to observe. That means to do all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, that's that discipleship process that we looked at this morning. Okay? Now, go back to John 14. Now, when it says in verse 26, John 14:26 that we read a while ago, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, he'll teach you all things, all right. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. But he also brings all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You got that? Well, did he say it to them or did he say it to the 12? You know what I'm saying? He said it to the original 12. But the 12 are the ones that went and made the disciples. You got that? So it's still him, but they heard it from a human voice. Now, let's look at this whole thing in context. We read verse 26. Let's back up to verse 15. John 14, 15. By the way, this just comes right after John, our passage in John 14 that we're all aspiring to. He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do. That passage, right after that, he says in verse 15, well, if you love me, keep my what? Would not keep my commandments? Would that not be the things that he had taught the first apostles? Would that not be the things the apostles went and taught to all the nations? He says, now, if you love me, keep my commandments. No, I just want to do the works. I want to cast out devils. I want to raise the dead. I want to heal the sick. But I don't want to stop fornicating. As an example. I don't want to forgive that guy. You don't know what he did to me. I don't want to forgive him. See, these are the teachings of Jesus. Let's read the whole passage. Boy, it got a lot quieter when I said that part right there. If you everybody was rah-rah till I got right there. If you love me, see, and I know you love him. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't travel all this way, you young people. You wouldn't be here if you didn't love him. But he's bringing us into a deeper walk with him. Amen? If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. For he dwells with you and shall be in you. See, you are the people that are on the other side of that now. He is in you. I already know. You've been born again. You've got a new spirit on the inside of you. Everybody, I pretty well know everybody in here. You've been baptized with the Holy Ghost, which means you've got God the Holy Ghost in you. He's with you, but he is in you. See? Yet a little while and the world sees me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. Well, we do. And at that day you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Now notice verse 21. He that hath my commandments. Stop. Go ye into all the world, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Isn't that what he said? He that hath my commandments, oh, and keepeth them. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him. Now get this. And will manifest myself to him. Now Judas, not Iscariot, he's thinking about this. He's listening. He says, now he already told us he's leaving the planet. Yet he's telling us now he's going to manifest himself to us, even though he's leaving the planet. It's a good question. Lord, how is it that you will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, here you go again. If a man love me, he will keep my words. How plain could he make it? He will keep my words. My Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. Now, it's interesting. He doesn't say, he that loveth me not hath not my sayings. He didn't say that, did he? No, they may have them, but the ones that love him are the ones that keep them. Isn't that good? The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And here's some of my notes. The Holy Spirit's job is not to teach the commandments, the doctrine, the sayings of Jesus. That duty was assigned to the apostles. Can you see that? That duty was assigned to the apostles. Okay? For someone to... Now see, what we have here, when you hold this book in your hands, finally, the teachings of Jesus that they had to teach verbally, finally they were assembled into a book that you can hold in your hands, or a phone that you can hold in your lap. Amen? We have his commandments now. You don't have to wait for an apostle to come through town to find out what Jesus taught. You talk about having no excuse. Most Christians have got like 12 flavors of Bibles. KJV, NKJV, Amplified, NIV, ASV, RSVP or something. I don't know. It's just... And for the most part, they all gather dust. But see, it's not the Holy... Jesus never assigned the Holy Spirit to teach his sayings. In our generation, we have his sayings. And I'll just tell you right now, it's your job to get in them. That's another thing that I thank Pastor Dave for, is that he taught me how to meditate God's Word in whole images. Oh, that was one of the best... That right next to praying in other tongues, that may be the best thing that he ever taught me. I mean, that learning to ask the Holy Spirit, where does this subject start and where does it end? And meditate that whole image. You know, boy, if you'd never heard Dave's series on meditation, imagery, and delivery. And it's wonderful, you know. But that's really our job now. You don't have to wait for an apostle to come through town for you to find out the sayings of Jesus. We have the sayings of Jesus. And I got to speed this up a little bit. So let me start again here. The Holy Spirit's job is not to teach the commandments, the doctrine, the sayings of Jesus. That duty was originally assigned to the apostles. But really, now, it's our duty to get into our Bible and study those things for ourselves. Amen? Now, but the Holy Spirit's job is to bring those commandments, doctrine, sayings of Jesus to our remembrance. It is one of the ways that the Holy Spirit guides us with the mind of Christ. Without that aspect of the Holy Spirit's ministry, you become a legalist and simply led by your own mind instead of by the mind of Christ. Now, let me give you a few examples. When I first, again, during the first 12 years before we met Pastor Dave and we didn't understand how to turn ourselves over to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I had a wonderful idea. This is called a Gary idea. Those don't work real well a lot of time. But I thought, well, this is easy. He wants me to keep the commandments of Jesus. I'm just going to go through here, and I'm a pretty good student, and I'll just start listing all these commandments, and then I'll just know what to do. Doesn't that make sense? Until you get to stuff like this. Now, I'm going to look at two verses here. They're both in Luke. I tried to get them close together. One of them is Luke 15:16, and the other one is Luke 6:30. Now, we're going to look at two examples of what I'm about to teach here. We could do pages of these, okay? But here's the problem you're going to run into to try and, could I use the word codify, make a instruction book where you don't need the Spirit, you just need you got it all now. You went through and you studied all the sayings of Jesus. Okay, this is forgiving, this is for fasting, this is for forgiving, this is for that, and this is for that over there. I'll just live by that. Let's look at Luke 15:16 first. Now, excuse me. This is the story of the prodigal son. Everyone knows the story. Give me my inheritance. And he left the father's house. And he went and he wasted it on when the elder son said on harlots. That's pretty descriptive. And riotous living. That's pretty descriptive. Didn't take him long to burn through the money. So now he's got no money and he's hungry. By the way, hunger is a great motivator. But he's hungry and he takes a job that is about as low as you can go in that century for a Jew. He got a job feeding the pigs. Oh man, you're not even supposed to be around those pigs, you know. And now he's feeding the pigs and he's so hungry. Get the picture. He's thinking of, here's the pigs with their heads in the trough. And he's thinking of putting his head in the trough and eating with the pigs. Now he's hungry. Now, before I go any further, got to be careful with human love. Got to be careful with human love, because most people, first thing they'd do, they'd see that situation, they'd run right over there. What are they going to do? Give him some money, give him some food, share something. But now notice the verse. Luke 15:16. And he would fain, he almost have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. Now notice. And no man gave unto him. In the margin of my Bible, I wrote, thank God. Thank God. Because it brought him to a place of repentance. This is the opposite of enabling. Parents do it all the time. Friends do it all the time. I'm going through such withdrawals. I'm having it so bad. And they'll wind up buying them some more, whatever it is that's already killing them. Amen? Because it's just human compassion. The Lord told me one time, he says, human compassion, when it is substituted for my compassion, is as deadly as poison. Can you see that this was a time where no, you should not give to this person? Can you see it? All right, now go over to Luke 6:30. And on purpose now, we're not looking really at too much of the context here. But really, in Luke 6:30 is really talking about how you deal with sinners. Not of church offerings, but we can't get into all that tonight. Okay. But now notice this. There, no man gave unto him. And that was, boy, I thank God nobody gave unto him. Amen. But look at this. Luke 6:30. I'm going to codify where I don't need the leadership of the Spirit, see. But I ran into some problems. Because over there it says, well, don't give. And look what this one says. Give to every man that asks of you. Uh-oh. Which is it? Do I not give? Or it says here to give to every man. Seeing the dilemma? Well, which is it? Don't give or give? See, the Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance what Jesus has said at the appropriate time. That's happened to me so often. There's been times, man, when I drive those trucks across the country and we have to stop at truck stops, there's always beggars at every truck stop. Always. I actually saw one time in Gallup, New Mexico. We gave some money to one beggar. He didn't get 10 feet away. He got begged by another beggar. First time I ever saw that in my life. I never saw anything like that. Anyway. And I didn't realize it then. I understand now what's going on. But sometimes I would hear, give to every man that asks of thee. I just hear it as clear, just all of a sudden. Give to every man that asks of thee. And I'd give him $5 or $3 or something. And other ones, the other times I'd hear, and no man gave unto him. Uh-oh. And I didn't realize that was the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Even when it comes to the sayings of Jesus, part of his ministry is to bring all things to your remembrance that he has said. And he will bring the appropriate saying for the situation that you're in. And you'll think it's just you remembering a verse. You're not that smart. Come on. He's bringing it to your remembrance. But see, this is why, thank God again for Pastor Dave teaching us to assimilate the word. That's how you equip yourself for day and night meditation. Makes it so much easier for the Holy Spirit to bring up those sayings of Jesus. Let's look at another one. So you go to Mark 6 and put a marker in Luke 22. See, I'm going to read this sentence while you're going to it. So I wrote, well, which is it? Don't give or give? The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance at the appropriate time. It's one of the ways that He leads you. But it is not His job to teach you the commandments of Jesus. That job was originally assigned to the apostles. But in our generation, really it's assigned to you. Because you have His teachings. You don't have to wait for an apostle to come to town. You've already got His word. Now get in it. Okay. Now let's look at another situation. I was going to codify all this, or I just knew every time what to do. Here's Mark chapter 6. Let's look at verse 8. Now He's sending them out to go minister. He's sending them out. Mark 6 verse 8, He says, He commanded them. He says, keep My commandments, right? He commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse. I think today we'd say wallet. Well, you ladies would say purse. Okay. But the point being, all right, I want you to go on this trip. I don't want you to take any scrip, no bread, no money. Got it. That's what I'm going to do from now on, Jesus. Every time You send me out, I'm not taking any money. I'm not taking any scrip. I'm not taking any bread until You get over to Luke 22. Now look at Luke 22, verse 36. This is another time He's sending them out. So then said He unto them, but now he that hath a purse, I would say wallet, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, what? Sword? Let him sell his garment and buy one. Again, which is it? I'm getting all confused here, Jesus. Take nothing, no money, no bread? Or do we take money and provisions with us? No sword or sword? Which is it? Now see, this is the job of the Holy Spirit. To bring to your remembrance the commandments of Jesus at the appropriate time. Your job is to meditate. Your job is to assimilate. Your job is to have the Word on the inside of you. So I wrote here in this, okay, see, today we are so blessed that we have the commandments, the teachings, the sayings, the doctrine of Jesus in written form. They didn't have that then. We can feed on His sayings through meditation and assimilation all that we want to. Direction comes from the mind of Christ. Thank God Pastor Dave taught us how to meditate the Word in whole images and how to assimilate the Word to equip ourselves for day and night meditation. Now look at John 15. Just for a moment, you're close. John 15, look at starting in verse 7. If you abide in Me, and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall we be His disciples. As the Father hath loved Me, so have I loved you. Continue you in My love. Now here it is again. If you keep My commandments, you shall abide in My love, even as I have kept the Father's commandments and abide in His love. Now, your job is to study to show yourself approved. A workman rightly dividing the Word, being fully furnished for every good work. Amen? But the Holy Spirit, this is one of the ways that I missed. He was doing it, and I didn't realize He was doing it. But when you hear one of those verses, you're at a situation, could be anything. You know, you're leaving on a trip, somebody comes and asks for money, or you just see somebody and you can tell they're destitute. Listen for what floats up. That's the Holy Spirit that can, He'll bring to your mind the speakings, the sayings of Jesus. And that's how you'll know what to do. I've had Him do it on both ends. Like, give to every man that asks of thee, I know to give that one. The other one says, no man gave unto Him. Uh-oh. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to introduce this. We may talk about this during the week. Or I don't know. I'm not in charge. Okay. There's a controversy about being a doer of the Word and being led by the Spirit. you're going to find people off in the ditch on both sides. Legalism takes the word without any leadership of the Spirit at all. People go to the other side of the road in that ditch. Well, it's like that person told Rosalie one time. She was going to stay in there. This guy was going to stay in their house, you know, for a while. And he said, I'm so led by the Spirit. I don't even wash my clothes unless God tells me to. Doesn't that sound spiritual, you know? Rosalie says, if you're going to sleep in our house, in one of our beds, you're going to wash your clothes when I tell you to. I love it. Now, the truth of the matter is the Word of God and the Spirit of God agree. Actually, the Word of God was inspired by the Spirit. Now, I've only got about 5 minutes. Let me just introduce this. We're not going to have you turn to all these scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture, say all. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, say all. Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Amen? So the word itself is inspired by God, by the Holy Spirit. Okay? But controversy arises between legalism of do the word, just get out there and do it, and, well, only as you're led by the Spirit. And there's many conflicts of opinion in the modern church. Now, I'm going to do this. I'm going to read you a passage out of James. Alan mentioned this morning, the last two verses, or last verse. But let's put this all together. James chapter 1, verses 22 through 27. Be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious. Now here's something to be a doer of the word. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Would you say one aspect of being a doer of the word is start bridling your tongue? Okay. Then the next verse, this is one Alan quoted, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless, that's orphans, and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. James uses the Greek word logos instead of rhema throughout this teaching to make sure that the reader understands he's talking about doing the already revealed Word of God. He's not so much talking about a rhema, like go to a street called straight, okay? So he's not talking about an individual leading of the Spirit right here. He's talking about earlier, if we backed up more, he'd said, receive with meekness the engrafted word. Make it part of your DNA. I like this. The picture I get, tattoo God's word on your bones. Receive with meekness this engrafted word. Anyway. In context, he gives the examples of being a doer of the word by helping orphans and widows who are afflicted and to keep himself unspotted from the world. That's following the new nature. Nathan teaches on this all the time. Dave taught on it. How you do that, if you just obey the leadership that comes by the new nature, you will live a holy life. You'll just live a holy life, okay? James is saying there's things that you don't have to have a word to do. You already have the word to help orphans and to help widows. Now, be going over to 1 John. We are going to look at several verses here. Now, me trying to understand, see, but if you were legalistic minded, which I was in the early days, I'll just be honest with you, I'm thinking, well, dear Lord, I got to help all the orphans. I got to, every orphanage, I got to help them, you know, and widows. May I want to obey Jesus? And one day in prayer, now here, thank God the Holy Ghost will come to your rescue. You know how he said it to me? Just set me free. He said, I am not going to hold you personally responsible for every poor person on earth. But I am going to hold you personally responsible for every Lazarus that I lay at your gate. Did you get that? And see, and you'll know. You may go by 100 of them, and all of a sudden you come across some person, and there's just something on the inside of your knower. This is one God wants you to help. This is one God wants, you know, this is a Lazarus laid at your gate. You cannot walk past. you can't ignore. And if you do try, you're going to get smited in your spirit, not with cancer. You're going to get a whooping. Your spirit's going to the woodshed. Now, you know, I told you to help that. You get back over there right now. You know, amen. See, that also are his commandments, though. You have his widows and orphans. Okay. And then you have his right now, present tense, speaking to you. So quick, we're just going to look at the word commandments here in 1 John. Okay? You can follow if you can keep up. I got to end here. 1 John 2:3. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith I know him, oh, I know Jesus. Yes, we're buds. And keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. You know some other Jesus than the Jesus of the Bible. If you know the commandments and you're choosing not to keep the commandments, I don't care what you say. John says you don't know him. You know some other Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 22 says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Verse 24, 1 John 3:24, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Hereby we know that he abides in us by the Spirit which he has given us. 1 John chapter 5, one short little book, and it sure has a lot about commandments. 1 John chapter 5, verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. There it is again. The next verse. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Over in 2 John chapter verse 6. This is the love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. Now, that's about as far as we can go tonight. We're coming into a time of discipleship. Like, I don't know that the church, maybe since the first century, has gone through a discipleship training like the church is going through now. God is restoring discipleship to the church to make disciples that look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, walk like Jesus, and have the same results that Jesus had. We are going through discipleship now. Yes, there will be teaching. Yes, there will be instruction. Yes, there will be training. There's a difference between a teacher and a trainer. Everybody that ever went through football knows this. When they teach you, you sit in the classroom and they draw X's and O's and show you the formations. And it could be air conditioned and nice and pleasant. And say, I love teaching. I love this teaching. It's wonderful. Then the trainer comes in because he's preparing you for battle. And it might be 100 degrees on the field that day. And he says, now I've come to, did you get the teaching? Yes, I love the teaching. Hallelujah. I have itching ears. No, I love teaching. Good. Now we're going to train you to do the teaching. Let's do 20 laps in 100 degree weather. What? I want to go back. I heard there's another football conference going on across town. There's another conference. I think I'm going to go over there. And we don't ever get out on the field. We don't ever do any laps. We don't ever sweat. Don't ever, no risk. No risk of somebody opposing you and getting mad at you and cursing you and spitting in your face. That part's not fun, but that's part of the training. And to love them anyhow. We're going through a wonderful time. Wonderful in one sense because it's going to bear fruit. It's called revival. The flesh, I'm not going to like it quite so much. But he says, by this you shall be my disciples.